Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, pilgrims and libertines, Native Americans and immigrants, and yes, if you're not a full-blooded Native American, then you're an immigrant. We are all immigrants in America. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, and we are all in America celebrating Thanksgiving. 'Tis the season. Or Spanksgiving. In Bonoboville. Yes, indeed, I am very thankful around Thanksgiving, of course, very thankful for my love, my life. I have a great life. I have a wonderful love, Prince Maximilian, Rudolf Lubkowitz, De Phil and Jerry. And I'm very thankful for our sex life. We still have great sex. Yes, I get stuffed from both ends around Thanksgiving. And I'm very thankful for Bonoboville. You've got to have a group, you know, I think. Friends, be bonobo friendly. And I have my Bonoboville. Our Bonoboville. And I'm also thankful for American voters. Well, voting out the Trumpkin. Yes, indeed, we voted him out, didn't we? Yay. But he's still here. How's he still here? I don't really get it. I mean, I get it, but it's like crazy, isn't it? I mean, we voted him out. He should be giving a concession speech, but he's too conceited to concede. So, hey. He's still there. So we're just going to have to smash Trumpkin again. I know, I tried smashing Trumpkin at Halloween, and I succeeded, and we voted him out by large margins. But here he is. So we have to smash him again. Okay. And yes, it's Spanksgiving. It's not really smash giving. Although it's going to be Smashgiving a little later. But it is Spanksgiving, right? Because I'm thankful for all these different things. And I'm thankful I'm not sick, like a lot of people are right now. So many people hurting and dying. We could call it the Trump virus. We could call it what we want. But it's a plague right now, and it's hurting us. It's the coronapocalypse. So I'm thankful. But I'm also spankful. I'm spankful. Yes, indeed. On Thanksgiving, let us give thanks. And on Spanksgiving, let us give spanks. Yes, indeed. Let us spank away the hate and the greed and the fear that divides us. And let us practice the bonobo way of peace through pleasure with a little spanking. Yeah. Consensual adults only, of course. Yes, yes, indeed. It's our duty to spank booty on Spanksgiving. That's right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get an A, women?
A, women.
Yeah. Spank your own booty if you don't have booty to spank. You know, it's tough times these days. So you got to make do. That's right. It's my 26th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse. Yes, inspired by FDR's fireside chats, here to comfort, inform, eroticize, and entertain you, and incite you to seize the day in a bonobo way. That's right. Maybe in a naughty way, because it is Naughty November. Woohoo! And you know, when you've got Naughty November, that leads to Spanksgiving. Yes. Now, when you're sheltering with someone who's not really into spanking, like my darling Prince Max, or at least not to the level of Spanksgiving, you know, I mean, we give each other some little spanks, right? Yeah. You're just nodding. You're not saying anything.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So because he's not that into like Spanksgiving level spanking, I have to have a surrogate. I mean, usually it's a human surrogate. That's true. I love to spank my fellow humans. And fortunately, Max is not a possessive prince. So, you know, I can spank who I want. And yet, it is the coronapocalypse. So, like, I don't want to get that close to someone, you know, that I, spanking them, you know, it's a little dangerous. So, therefore, I have a non-human spanky. That's right. This is Stormy. Right? We got her around the time that Stormy Daniels came out with her expose of Donald Trump, who actually enjoyed a spanking. He got spanked with a Forbes by Stormy, and that kind of softened him up, because spanking does that. Anyway, it made him less of a complete, you know, lunatic, and more of just your garden variety asshole billionaire. Anyway, spanking does kind of balance things out in a lot of ways. Consensual spanking, consensual. Adults only. And Stormy here is an adult. Well, she's a blow-up doll from the Adult Warehouse Outlet. Thank you very much, Adult Warehouse Outlet. And now, Stormy will be my spanky, my spanking victim. Consensual, of course, right, Stormy?
Yes.
And she's being gagged with an ear of corn, just in case you didn't notice.
From Iowa.
Yes. And she is wearing a nice skirt. This is a perfect spanking skirt, by the way. It's polka dot. We're wearing polka dots. I know pilgrims didn't wear polka dots or mini skirts, but, you know, whatever. So, and she's a college girl. Check it out. Yeah. She's one of my colleagues, one of my fellow Yaleys. Right? Hey, Yale girls like to get spanked too. A lot of people like to get spanked. And let me just say, Spanksgiving is a funny thing, I know, in terms of Thanksgiving, right, I get it. But it is actually more authentic. It is a much more historically based holiday, really, than Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was probably not the mythical love-in that we learn about between the pilgrims and the Native Americans. It's more likely that our pilgrim ancestors did Spanksgiving. That is, they certainly did spank each other a lot. So it's much more reality-based, really, when you think about it. I mean, there was probably no feel-good Turkey Day between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag Native Americans. I mean, sure, they ate Squanto's corn when they were hungry, but once they got their land legs, they started slaughtering all the Native Americans, you know, either on purpose with their muskets or by giving them those gift blankets, right? Filled with smallpox. Yuck. Thanks, but no thanks. Now, talk about hoaxes perpetrated on the American people. This is one of the greatest hoaxes that these Native Americans, like, and the pilgrims all got along great. Terrible hoax. Now, Spanksgiving is not a hoax. It is based on history. Yes, indeed. Those pilgrims and the Puritans that came after them, you know, they were into punishment. Serious punishment. Of course, non-consensual punishment. That's a key difference between them and us, I guess, or us here in Bonoboville. I mean, there's still a lot of people into non-consensual punishment. But the Puritans and the pilgrims, they were like, they like worshipped it. It was part of their religion, really. They were into punishing the natives for not being Christian at all, or just for being there when they wanted to, you know, steal the land. And they were punishing each other. Whack, whack, whack. I'll punish you, Stormy. Whack, 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 whack. They were punishing each other a lot. I mean, you look at the records that they kept, and you see there were spankings, more likely whippings, and they tie people up. They put them in stocks, you know, where you put the hands in and the feet in and the head sometimes in, and you throw rotten fruit. I'm not going to throw rotten fruit at you, Stormy, but you see the whole idea. Did her thing fell out? Okay. My beautiful assistant, Mariah. Mariah. You can stuff Stormy's mouth here. Here she is. This is my new associate producer, Mariah. And Stormy is not wearing a mask because she's a doll. And so she gets to suck on an ear of corn. Very talented girl. That's right. Okay. So the Puritans, yeah, they did lots of stuff with vegetables. They did canings. They did paddlings. And there are records of this. I mean, just imagine the things that there are not records of. Yeah. Also, tar and feathering. How about that? I actually had a sex therapy client that was into tar and feathering, but you know, the tar is very dangerous. So he would cover himself with molasses and then open up a feather pillow and roll around in it on the floor and turned him on. You know, I don't know how many of these pilgrims were turned on by tar and feathering. I think quite a few, because I remember reading about it as a kid and thinking, wow, that's wild. It was usually like the racy people that were punished with tar and feathering, like couples that were cheating. They were into punishing each other for their transgressions, and very often those were sexual transgressions. Did I just knock the corn out? Oh, no, Stormy, you're very good. Good girl. Yes, and by the way, these are Jux leather finger floggers that are very good for Spanksgiving, and I think we sell them on Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop, so check it out. Yes, and he also made those big floggers for the big people. Okay, so what else do we call this? We call it public disgrace. That's right. Public disgrace pilgrim style. Yeah, you can imagine what they might do with Jeffrey Zumdick Toobin. Woo! Wow. So, yeah, here in Bonoboville, we enjoy role-playing. I enjoy playing with dolls. And, you know, the big difference is that we're either doing it with a doll, or if it's with a human, we do it consensually. I'm doing it with a doll because it's the coronapocalypse, and whereas usually on Spanksgiving, we'd have a whole bunch of people over here. We're just not, you know, we're not doing that now. And I hope you, too, are staying safe in the coronapocalypse. Yes, I know. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time we get together, right? And it can be delicious, especially when you're getting stuffed from both ends. Stormy can do that too. She's got, oh, ooh, yeah, she can. Mm-hmm. But it can also be very difficult to digest. Thanksgiving now I'm talking about. Yeah, it's a, you know, sometimes a stressful time. You're seeing people that are very close to you, but maybe you didn't see for a while. It's a conflicted time, maybe a hypocritical time in a way, when you have to hold in your real feelings for fear of triggering Uncle Maggot's loser trauma. Now, you have a good excuse, right? You have the excuse of the coronapocalypse to stay home and choke the chicken instead of swallowing their turkey. Or taking their crap. I mean, sometimes it's good to have this excuse, right? I know, most of us are feeling very deprived, but some of us are secretly celebrating. That's right, I love spanking Stormy. Okay, so, yeah. Spank the monkey for Spanksgiving. Why not? It's most people's favorite hobby in the coronapocalypse. And, yeah, on the Native American side, I just want to say I don't know that Native Americans were into spanking. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope I am. I'm sort of hoping, because there's a lot of cultures that are into spanking. But I know that they are into pain, ritual pain, something that I think a lot of, you know, kinksters can identify with. I mean, spanking is about pain. It doesn't have to be a lot of pain, but it can be. Can be pretty hard, you know. I mean, if you go for like that Dallas spanks hard kind of guy, you know, or that snake tail whip, it can be hard. But I like spanking because, you know, I'm a light spanking kind of gal. But I know a lot of people like the pain, and the Native Americans do have these rituals that, you know, often involve piercing and maybe whipping, I think, sort of like flagellating. Things that bring out that state, you know, when you're in pain, and I think kinksters can identify this as substate. You feeling the substate, Stormy? She won't say. Anyway, it's like an altered state. It's kind of like a drug, but without the drugs. It's because in order to deal with the pain, your body sort of sends a message to your bloodstream to make endorphins. And the endorphins rise up in your bloodstream to kill the pain so you can handle it. But they also kind of make you high. And they put you in subspace. And Native Americans utilize this in a similar way to a peyote ritual without the peyote. Or maybe they use peyote while they do it. But it's pretty intense. I think a lot of people have looked at documentaries about that. It does open the doors of perception, as Aldous Huxley might say. Don't think I forgot about you, Stormy. So, yeah. Now, I will say this about Spanksgiving. It's kind of a kooky, fun holiday that we made up. But I know that other people celebrate it. And I don't know if I heard about it from somewhere or just suddenly realized that Thanksgiving rhymed with Spanksgiving and started celebrating. But, yeah, I mean, for kinky, consenting adults with a conscious kink, I mean, the Spanksgiving ritual of being spanked, it does create a form of what I call comedia erotica penance, you know, kind of suffering for the pilgrim's original sin, because it was a pretty big sin. It's America's original sin. It's maybe, you know, you could say Columbus, or I don't know. There's so many invaders, really, into this beautiful land that the natives called Turtle Island. It's just the symbol raises awareness of the genocide that I guess mainly European Americans have committed against this land, against the natives of this land, and the land itself, the ecocide. Whack, whack, whack. And of course, it's not so simple. You can't just spank away America's sins against the natives. You can't just spank away America's sins against the foreign lands and the people in them that we bombed. You can't just spank it away. You can't even spank away our own small sins against each other. But there are certain things that spanking can, I guess you could say, accomplish. I mean, one thing is having fun, and it's important to have fun. It's important to express our erotic nature, and spanking really does that. I mean, I'm doing an OTK spanking, over the knee, but there's whipping and there's paddling. Here's an interesting implement. This is from Threshold, which is a very venerable old spanking society, BDSM group. And this is perhaps a more appropriate spanking implement, a spatula that, you can use to spank your doll or your partner, if you're lucky enough to have a partner. One hopes you might have a partner that wants to be spanked for Spanksgiving, or maybe you want to be spanked for Spanksgiving. Though we can't spank away America's sins, we can spank away our own personal sins. I'm not saying the things that we really do wrong to each other, cheating each other, being nasty, but more like the sins that society says we do wrong, like not confining our sexuality to just married, monogamous, missionary position, you know? Because society basically pushes us to do that. Procreation, sex only. It's getting more and more like that. It's weird. I mean, first we got more liberal, now we seem to be going back, and things are getting sinful again. So maybe a spanking can liberate you from that side of sinfulness, that side that's very judgmental and sanctimonious and usually hypocritical. Whack, whack, whack. And yes, you can spank away your fears sometimes, fear of pain, fear of letting go, Fear of your childhood experiences. Childhood experiences often freak us out, traumatic, sometimes for good reasons. Sometimes we've been abused. Sometimes we've been raped, tortured. But sometimes it's just we're stressed out by this culture of ours. And good spanking helps to release that stress, the stress of childhood. And that doesn't mean you should spank children, by the way. Don't spank children. Don't do it. Just don't. It's not a good idea. They can't consent. Do other things to punish them. And then they'll grow up and want to be spanked for fun. And that's not a bad thing. Of course, people want to be spanked for fun often if they were brought up with spanking or not, or vice versa. Sometimes they want to stay away from spanking if they were brought up with it. It really depends on the individual, many, many factors. But I just think when you spank children, you teach them that violence is the answer to a problem. And it's not. Spanking is not an answer to violence. Spanking is a fun activity, or it's a symbolic, meaningful activity. It's got to be a consensual activity, and you can't get a kid to consent. So spanking for adults only, and it can be therapy. Yes, indeed. We were talking about this, Mistress Cyan, Madam Marguerite, and I, in the spotlight of DomCon in my interview. Check it out. And yes, spanking can alchemically transmute like lead into gold. It can take leaden pain and transmute it into golden endorphins and good feelings and fun and a connection with your partner. Are you feeling connected to me, Stormy? Hope so. I love to make that connection, that kink connection. It's easier to make in person, but you can make it other ways, and we've got to make do with other ways in the coronapocalypse. So, yeah, Spanksgiving. I mean, there's a lot to it, but the main thing is it puts Thanksgiving in perspective, right? Bottoms up. And, you know, let's turn the whole plutocratic, ecocidal oligarchy upside down and spank its ass. Fuck the rich. That is the name of a new show that Max and I are going to be doing. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Fuck the rich. And we mean it in a good way and a bad way, both. We mean both meanings, actually all meanings, in a bonobo way. Fuck the rich. Yes. Mm. What were you saying?
Oh, you know, FDR told them.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
The peasants are coming to your door, and they're going to burn down your factories and your houses. Mm-hmm. So you better pay 90% tax. 90%.
90%. Tax the rich. That's what they pay.
And they were also extremely rich after that.
Absolutely.
You know? But then he built a new America. He built highways. He built schools. He built... people went back to work.
Yes. You know? He took America out of the Great Depression. Right. That's why we're inspired by his fireside chats. And the effects were still felt in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and then the 70s. The rich started taking it back. And yes. Then the 80s, they put Reagan in. And
Mr.
That was
Reagan,
it.
That was it. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. And then they started blaming, remember, welfare queens?
Oh, yeah, the welfare queens.
Yeah, blaming poor people.
Becoming just fabulously rich on welfare.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, we got this guy that's at the White House. We got him.
Oh, the Trumpkin?
Yeah, the Trumpkin.
He's still there, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the work of just a lot of people.
To get him out.
To get him out.
I know.
They were just tired of this idiot. Okay?
So many people.
Yeah. Now let me just say, we're tired of the rich that don't give to the arts, that don't give food, There's 150 million starving children around the world, and some guy has 300 and some odd billion dollars.
It's crazy. Yeah, at least the Rockefellers built the Rockefeller Center.
They did.
The Koch brothers just support like people like McConnell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they support people that let them keep more of their money.
They didn't support Trump, though.
No, not in the beginning, but then they did.
Yeah.
You know, and the Trumpkin is certainly unusually messed up, and we're getting rid of him, I guess, although he is sowing division.
No, there's a SEAL team going in.
Yeah, we all want to see that.
Take him out.
The problem really is all these fellow Republicans, and they are fellows, that are supporting his idiocy, his lunacy, his attempt to, I guess, make a coup, you know? It's not going to succeed, but it does undermine
society. This is the Republican
Party. Yeah.
This is some of the richest people in the fucking world.
Well, they want to undermine the government
Of course,
so they don't
yeah.
have to keep,
of course.
They don't have to pay taxes.
Taxes.
Yeah. So, fuck the rich. We'll talk more about that later.
Go to their house. Find out where they live. Wave to them. From the gates. We're here.
People are already doing that in Black Lives Matter.
Right. Let's move that on.
Yes. You know? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Make them give thanks that we haven't, you know, the barbarians are not like pushing through their door.
Mussolini, if you wanted to build a chemical factory, you say, great, where do you want to build this chemical factory? Oh, way out there, far away. And he said, no, you can't do that. What? You build it where you live so people know where to come get you. It's kind of Italian mafia stuff, but that was his, you know.
Hmm.
And he was totally into ecology and all that.
Mussolini.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You couldn't build anything if it changed the wind.
Well, we're trying to get rid of fascists right now, Max, and
you're
giving like this praise to fascists. But okay.
No.
You know, everybody has their good points.
Listen.
Hey, Trump might want to get some guys out of Afghanistan. At first he was saying he was going to withdraw the troops, but he's not. But, you know,
he's been saying
we want to support anybody that wants to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. We shouldn't be in these foreign lands. And so, yeah. So the Trump turkey, right. Here he is. Trump turkey. He's still squawking. But he's done. Il capitano è scaput. As il presidente, but his squawking is tearing the country apart. And, I mean, it's kind of funny. Rudy Giuliani, oh my God. That is an amazing picture here. Look at him. Here, this one is on the cover of the Daily News. I mean, they call him Uzi Rudy because look at the hair dye. I guess it's hair dye. I don't want to think of it's anything else. But turkey giblets, what is that running down your face, Rudy? Oh, my God. He's a pantalone. If Trump is il capitano, the blowhard in the Commedia dell'arte figures, then he's a kind of a pantalone. He's, pantalone's money grubbing and yeah, I mean, the crookedest of the crooked.
He's also
the crooked guy.
A cafone.
A cafone.
Yeah. A cafone.
Right. So should the turkey pardon Trump? Trump pardons the turkey. I don't think so. You don't get a pardon, Stormy, and you're going to get spanked more, but I'm going to have some guests join me for my Spanksgiving celebration tonight. All right. And pull my mask down to say hello to my beautiful guest, Alice Bangs. Hi, Alice. Happy Thanksgiving and slappy Spanksgiving.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to have you on. Very excited. And you look very pretty in pink. That's quite a beautiful outfit. Is that latex?
It's actually like this, it's supposed to look like latex, but it's really just like fabric with like shiny plastic on top.
Nice. Well, you know, that is another great aspect of the corona apocalypse is you can wear all kinds of fabrics that look like other kinds of fabrics so that, you know, you don't have to be uncomfortable. But it looks great. You look fantastic. And you are an erotic model, a pole dancer. You're also a student at Sam Houston State University, a grad student. And yes. And you're with a group called Sisters Against Assault. And you're a sex worker. A lot of things for a teenager. I guess you're 19, is that right?
I'm 21 right
21,
now.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations.
I actually just turned 21 in April during the lockdown.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And here you are with us. And so you're studying, what is it you're studying?
Clinical mental health.
Clinical mental health. And you have a kind of a rough background yourself. You were brought up in a foster home, is that right?
Yeah, so I know all of my real family, but when I was 13, I got put into foster care, and actually, like, it was a long time coming. I worked hard to get into foster care, and so then when I was 16, I got emancipated, so I spent about 3 years in foster care.
Wow. Well, so let me ask you, I mean, you've had an interesting family background. How do you feel about this big family holiday of Thanksgiving or Spanksgiving?
Yeah, so around this time of year is actually like usually kind of depressing for me. So I very recently kind of got back in touch with my grandparents because they didn't know what was happening when I was a kid. And so can't really blame them. And so they just invited me to Thanksgiving with them. But normally I'll do community service or I'll just stay at home and eat a bunch of food.
That's always a good way to do it. Get stuffed, girl. So what was happening to you when you were a kid? I mean, you don't have to go into gory details, but I'm guessing you were abused or tortured or neglected?
Like growing up, it was originally just me and my birth mom, and she actually was a sex worker too, which is apart from the fact that she was a bad person. Like, she actually raised me with really good morals, with like, I shouldn't judge people based on how they look on the outside. I should only judge people based on how they act and how they treat me and stuff like that. And so she raised me with like really great morals, and she was like a prostitute and was a stripper as well. And like, she, you know, I didn't judge her or anything. She actually like really helped me be who I am today. But she has a lot of mental health problems herself. And so because of that, she was emotionally and physically abusive. And then there was like a period of time when I was with her that like I was actually like sex trafficked through her. And so, you know, I like had to go through all that. And growing up with that, I actually thought that that was like normal. I, you know, was raised in private school at first, so like we didn't have that education of like these are your no-no areas, like stuff like that. And so I kind of just like at a certain age when I did eventually go to public school, I realized that what was happening to me like was not okay. And so the first like client or whatever of hers that came into my room, I pretty much like was like, no, I like hid a knife under my pillow. And then like, they just never came in again after that. Like, I guess after I realized what was happening, she like stopped. But then obviously at that point I tried to get away. And it was just a lot. It took me like running away like 8 times and being gone for months at a time, living on the streets and stuff before anybody listened to me. And it's always really sad to think about, because when I was in foster care, there were so many people whose parents loved them, treated them amazing, and they were taken away from their homes because their parents were poor. Or like stuff like that, where like they were in healthy environments, but their parents maybe just didn't have enough room for 3 children in the house, and somebody reported or something like that. Versus me, I was like being abused in all sorts of ways, and nobody was listening to me. And like it wasn't getting anywhere. Like we had so many meetings with CPS, and I would tell them what was happening. They even did like physical exams on me, and then they never followed through. It was like I would fall through the cracks every time.
Ain't that always the way? The ones who aren't doing anything wrong get punished, and the ones who are slip away. Well, I'm so sorry that you were brought up in such an abusive environment. The way you were starting to describe your mom, she sounded great, but then you say she had you prostituting when you were underage. That's awful.
Yeah, it was very much like me growing up with just her. Like, she was my role model. She was my best friend. So, like, I had a very different opinion of her until I realized what she was doing. And then, like, I became aware that I was a victim, or I was, like, going through this. Before then, you know, I thought that I deserved what was happening, or that what was happening happened to every kid. And so it was just, you know.
So I guess it's because it's the theme, but did she spank you?
She actually did, yeah. So, like, growing up, I didn't have any, like, fatherly figures. And she actually had, like, boyfriends and stuff, and she would always tell them, like, you do not punish my kid, I'm going to spank her. And she did, and I cried every single time. But now as a grown-up, I'm very into it, and it doesn't remind me even of getting spanked as a kid. Huh. I don't even think about it. But I'm just like, yeah, spank me harder.
Wow, so let's fast forward a bit. I mean, like I said earlier, I don't think children should be spanked. I mean, it sounds like you had to put up with a lot worse than spanking, but I do think that that is an activity that should be for fun and consensual play. But I understand that some parents just, they get to their wit's end and they just give the kid a whack. But I guess I just don't think it's a good idea. But on the other hand, here you are and you like spanking as an adult. And when did you first realize that?
So, oh gosh, I feel like my like sexual like awakening was always really weird, because growing up with a mom who was a sex worker, sex is like nothing to me. It's very just like casual fun. Like even in relationships, I don't think sex is that important. I'm more of like emotional intimacy. And so like I've known my sexuality since I was younger. Like I've been very open, but like when exactly I got into like kinks and stuff, I'm not totally sure. I'd say maybe like 16 or 17, I was in Tumblr and I was seeing like the like Dom accounts, and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then once I turned 18, I started finding like 18 and up clubs that did like different types of like bondage shows. So they were like take people up on stage and they would like spank them or whatever, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like where has this been? Like I remember, I think I was 19 or 20 and I went to Dallas Fetish Ball, and I just, that was like everything for me. That was like a eye awakening moment or whatever, because they had a wheel of pain and I spun it and I got hot wax.
Ooh, hot wax.
And
like hot wax.
To this day, it's one of my favorite things.
So it sounds like you're a bit of an exhibitionist. Your most fun sexual experiences are in performance, at least at this stage of your life. And maybe that's partly because you were abused in a private situation, and it feels safer in a way to have a lot of eyes on you. And you can explore your sexuality and be your beautiful self and get a lot of approval and applause. And yeah, I mean, A lot of people who maybe don't like the private or have had an issue with a private situation might go for the public display more. Some people are the opposite. So you're definitely a public display kind of gal, at least at this stage. You know, people change. And of course you have, you've done some pole dancing and the fetish modeling and I can understand why, you know, basic sex might not be so great for you, especially with what happened in your past. I'm also wondering about something though that, that I found, I guess, on one of your social media sites, little advertisement for your services as a tattooed, liberal, loud, rude, and uncensored, it looks like elf or something, since you have the elf ears. Pretty funny. And I guess this is kind of a joke where you rent yourself out to people who want to piss off their family, but you've actually done this in your real life?
Yeah. So it's so funny, like, to think about, because, like, you were bringing up, maybe I don't like the sex in my real life because of what happened in the past, but, like, that feels like a second life to me. But because I, like, grew up without a family now, I kind of just cut out all those memories, like therapy and stuff. And so I'm just really awkward around families, like older people. Like, I have no filter. I don't understand why somebody would allow a predator in their household, or why somebody would, like, let family members be racist in front of them and stuff. And so there's been multiple times now where, like, maybe a partner will introduce me to their family members or something, and they pretty much ask them, like, don't bring her back over. Because it's just like, they'll say something. Like, one time I had a sticker of Obama on my laptop, and it said, like, socialism under it, and it was a joke. It wasn't a pro or anti Obama sticker. It was literally just, like, a joke. And my boyfriend at the time, his dad, got into a whole argument with me about it, and was like, so did you vote for Obama? And at the time I was, like, 17. I couldn't even vote.
Wow. Well, interesting. So it seems as though you really kind of mix up your sexuality, your erotic entertainment, and your politics.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are, and you're representing yourself as a sex worker. You're also very involved with Black Lives Matter. And some people are very comfortable with that. Yeah. Where's your microphone? Oh, you have to turn it on. Okay. Here we go.
Hello, hello.
Hello, yep, hello.
Yes.
Well, so we have another guest tonight is supposed to be on, and we just have to make the announcement. Cindy Sinful, who is supposed to be on the show tonight, has decided not to be on.
But really didn't.
I see that our show is too political.
Too political.
And her fans sent her 50 emails.
All Trumpers, I think.
Must be Trumpers, I guess. I don't know why somebody who doesn't like Trump would find a problem with the show, but I had heard she didn't want to talk about politics, and I was not going to talk to her about politics.
Right. Well,
but we did let her know that the show is, we talk about politics. So she did know that. So I just want to tell any of her fans that are still with us looking for her, that she just decided that it was too much, even though we told her we will not discuss politics with her, which we did. And yet, you know, and I respect that. I mean, that she can't handle it. I mean, I guess I just respect people's decisions. I want everything to be consensual.
I am not so kind.
You are not. Well, you know, I guess I'm not terribly kind because I just called her out for it. But I kind of have to because we have been promoting her in addition
in
to
era,
Alice.
In this era where we have a president who got defeated, knocked down like a loser in the sewer.
Yeah.
Who won't leave the White House.
Yeah, but I understand, you know, I am very anti-Trump. Listen, I smashed Trumpkin 2 weeks ago on Halloween, and I think I had a big effect on him losing. But the point is, I do understand, though, how the pro-Trump voters feel, because that's how I felt 4 years ago. I felt really angry and upset and disenfranchised and that, you know, we had to protest and fight back.
Forget the Trumpers.
Yeah. And I have a lot of sex therapy clients that are pro-Trump and that are going through trauma right now.
Right.
It's very traumatic. And I do have feelings for these people.
Who financed all these Petri dishes? The rich.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because all these revolutionaries here, especially the guy that wanted to kidnap the governor... He lives in a basement. Okay?
To kidnap Governor Whitmer.
He doesn't
Michigan.
Have money to get gas.
Right.
So somebody paid for it. And who paid for it were the rich.
Well, like they just bailed out Rittenhouse.
Right. Rittenhouse.
Yes, the kid.
And what about...
He doesn't have money, but, you know, a group of people put together $2 million to bail him out.
Yeah. What about his mother who drove him across state lines, a minor, drove him across state line, he kills two people, right? Drives them back across state lines. Now, you know, if you drove somebody across state lines to have sex,
you go to jail.
You might go to jail.
So, yeah, she's definitely at fault for that. I mean, we talk about abuse. That's abusive to him. And to people he comes in contact with. I mean, two of them died.
And two dead people. Right?
Yeah.
Like, how did he even get the gun in the first place?
Well, he paid a friend of his to buy it. That's how he got it. And that friend...
Is now going to jail.
Is going to jail. I don't know if the friend is going to get bailed out. But, yeah, that's how he did it. I mean, there are all kinds of ways. You know, the NRA makes sure that... You know, six-year-olds get a hold of guns, it's a gun-happy country. This great Thanksgiving celebrating America that we live in.
You know, by the way, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think it's really interesting that like no disrespect to her for not continuing to do the show. I just think it's interesting that what you were saying about it being political, because I, you know, did a little bit of research on you and stuff before the show, and like, huge fan. Like, I love everything that you have done with your life and like all your shows and the Institute of Erotic Arts and Sciences. I just think it's all so impressive. Like, that's where I aspire to be in the future, is exactly where you're at. and I just think that it's past politics at this point. You know, because it's not just about Republicans or Democrats. It's about racism versus anti-racism and like other stuff like that. And it's like people's lives on the line, like 250,000 lives lost from coronavirus.
Yes.
And, you know, he didn't even want to admit that it was real.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I totally agree with you, and I appreciate what you said, and I'm, like, happy that, you know, that Cindy canceled, because I get to spend more time with you now. So that's nice. There's always a silver lining to any dark cloud that rains on your parade. And, and it is a little bit of rain. I mean, and she did know what show she was doing. We arranged it, like, a few weeks ago, or a few days ago, at least.
I was just going to say the NRA has been unlicensed by the state of New York because of the corruption and the millions and millions and millions that have been stolen from the members of the NRA. The state of New York has pulled their nonprofit.
Oh. Good. Well, you know, hopefully we are moving towards a more bonobo future with a lot less racism, sexism, and guns. And, you know, I mean, the defeat of the Trumpists is a step in the right direction, but it's not the whole race. I mean, obviously you've got people that feel very bad about it, like Cindy, I guess. I feel like it's too bad because we could have had some interaction and you chose not to. But that's your choice. That's your choice. And of course, we only like consensual fornication and conversation. So
I just want to say you're very kind. I am not as kind. Okay. If you support fascism, if you support the overthrow of the Constitution of this country, I'm not happy. I'm a little boy that came over here for freedom.
Yeah, but it's more, I guess it's certainly more than a third of our country that support him.
That's fine.
And I guess I'm not. To the extent that Biden wants to reach across the aisle to Mitch the bitch McConnell, but I do want to reach across America to connect with people
sure.
who are feeling badly, like I felt 4 years ago. Like we felt.
We have to defund the right wing. That's what we have to do. We have to defund them, not the police. The police, actually, with the police, I often wonder. The big problem, where are the good cops?
Cops aren't cops.
tell us more about that.
The good cops would take off their uniform and walk away when they realize that they can't do anything to change the system. Because people say, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, there are good guys just like there's bad guys, but then why aren't they stopping the bad ones?
Exactly.
And
so it's,
you know,
not
like on that same topic.
Go ahead.
On that same topic of like the cops really not doing anything and like defunding the police and stuff, it's like the cops do not help you. The whole argument of like that side is like, oh, well, who are you going to call when you get raped? You know, I've been in that situation. The cops don't do anything. If anything, the cops further traumatize victims. They further stigmatize and like feed into rape culture in our society. And that's like why we created Sisters Against Assault, was to help women and just survivors, not just women, non-binary men, any survivors of sexual assault and violence, to seek alternative forms of justice and provide them with resources outside of the law. Because a lot of times, you know, we see Brock Turner and all that. We don't get justice that we deserve.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Cupcake Girls? They do something a little bit. They kind of help sex workers and with assault and things like that.
They give them sugar. Cupcakes.
Right. Sugar. Yeah. So, okay, to get serious for a moment, what happened to you and how did the police respond?
So when I was in undergrad at A&M Commerce, it's about like East Texas, there was a fraternity. I can just say the name because they already admitted to do it. But it's called Omega Delta Phi Fraternity. And the entire region of this fraternity, the North Texas region, was involved in like sexually harassing me. Cindy, like, in this little group chat that they had, they were like saying like disgusting things about me, like talking about passing me around, and just like also just being cruel. Like they were like definitely being like really gross, but they were also just being like unnecessary and just saying a lot of really bad and just disgusting things. And so I went to Title IX at my school, you know, did everything that I'm supposed to do on my end. And, you know, we even went through all the stuff. The people got found guilty. Like, one of the guys that was involved isn't even allowed to attend that school anymore. But as far as the actual, other than that one guy, the fraternity like, they didn't do anything about it. The school, the TAMUC, like, FSL, Fraternity and Sorority Life, they put out a newsletter, like, that same semester saying that ODFI was in good standing when that entire chapter, like, sexually harassed me. Like, and it was public knowledge. Like, everybody knew that this was happening. And the school was, like, hyping them up.
Hmm. Were you a sex worker at that time? I mean, an adult sex worker?
So I was a dancer, I believe, at that time.
Did they tease you or harass you because of that? Or
no, it was literally just them taking, like, they did bring up my OnlyFans and, like, we're talking about that. But, like, it was just them talking about, like, raping me and talking about, like, what they were going to do to me. And then somebody put my Instagram in there as, like, a joke to make fun of my look. And then they used that to send me rape threats, like, through Instagram and just all sorts of stuff. So the national fraternity put out, like, a moratorium and stuff. But as far as I know, like, they just straight up stopped talking to me. They stopped communicating with me. They didn't give me any answers. And so, you know, through that is kind of me and a bunch of people from around the country, really. We got together and made that organization. And we were like, you know what, if enough of us get together through, like, the court of public opinion, if we can't get the justice we desire, we can at least warn other people that, you know, these people are out there, like, stay away from them. Because, you know, like, one of the things that I want to do is keep people from further being victimized and stuff. And we can do that through warning communities of, hey, this is who's in your area. This is who you need to watch out for.
Yeah, well, why not? Why not just shout out the predators? I mean, I kind of think that's better than getting the police involved, because there's...
Exactly, take it into your own hands. That's, we don't need police. We should have the right to defend ourselves.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm lucky enough that since I was a child, as a grown-up, I have not been... Sorry, this way. I have not been, you know, fully raped yet. But thank God, you know, I don't even want to say yet, but sorry, I'm having, like, some lighting issues on my end.
You look great. It's wonderful. Very psychedelic.
But, I mean, I don't want that to happen to anybody else.
Yeah. Well, okay. you know, one of the things, as you know, Dr. Susie, and certainly as I know, if you're in the sex business in any manner,
you're a target.
You're a target for religious right-wing people that really don't want to give you...
Incels.
Yeah, incels. And
there's
and
a lot of frustration
banks,
out
banks,
there.
You know?
There's so much frustration. Yeah. And these, you know, frat boys, so
to
speak.
And the
frat guys. And believe me, I love a lot of frat guys. I do. But you guys also can get kind of crazy and predatory. And I know Sex Week at Yale was shut down because of a bunch of frat boys marching through the campus saying, no means yes. Yes means
no.
Anal.
Oh, God.
Right?
I mean, future leaders of our country.
Right. In fact, this frat house that was doing that was the one that George W. Bush was part of. Deke. I think it was Deke. Anyway, it's kind of a sickness that comes up because these are young men who have a lot of hormonal desire, and that's perfectly natural. And really, they should have some place to put it. Maybe older women, you know? Maybe there should be a program to hook up the older women, the MILFs and the Cougars and the frat boys, because that's who can handle them. I don't know. There should be a program. But when you just let them do their thing and you ignore that they are in their peak of desire, that they're never going to have that much desire again, probably, And meanwhile, they're not encouraged to have any kind of sex with anybody. They're not encouraged to have proper sex with a sex worker. They're not encouraged to be with an older woman. They're not encouraged to be with each other. You know, if they're bonobos, they might like being with each other. And a lot of them would like being with each other, but they're shamed to disregard their own bisexual feelings. There's so much shame involved. See, I'm always looking out for these people that should be my so-called enemy, whether they're frat boys or guests that cancel on me. I'm always thinking, you know, you people are hurt by the system. And I do think that it's great that you, Alice, want to be a therapist to help sex offenders and to help guys to understand how to handle their sexuality, because guys need a lot of help with understanding how to handle their sexuality in a culture like ours that is so sex negative and yet constantly teasing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember middle school days, and they had like Slap Ass Friday. That was an invitation for guys to sexually assault girls in middle school.
Slap Ass Friday. And I thought I was kind of wild for having Spanksgiving. I think that's great for consenting adults. Slap Ass Friday. I'm going to have to do that. But in middle school, no. I mean, I'm pretty wild, but I would not do Slap Ass Friday in middle school. Wow. Who put that out there?
Predators. And, you know.
No, but I mean, was it adults or teenage? Who made it Slap Ass Friday?
I don't know. At some point, I guess, you know, kids just went around and decided that was it. And they grew up and they turned into these rapey frat boys.
Wow. Wow. So if I know you're not done with your studies, but just say, like, I'm a rapey frat boy. I'm a guy and I'm here for help from you. What would you tell me?
Yeah, so I think that sex offender work is really sensitive. Especially because a lot of it is mandated. So it's a lot of different than things than normal therapy, where you have the like, oh, what you tell me is confidential and stuff. With sex offenders, that's not always the case. But I think that the biggest thing is, I would say, like, coming to therapy is the first step. You know, you want to change your thoughts. Like, the problem with, especially with sex offenders, and specifically like pedophiles and stuff, is that they have these thoughts in their mind. A lot of them are aware that they're wrong thoughts, like that they're not okay and that they shouldn't act on them. And the thing that I want to be is that person that they can come to before they act on it, to say, hey, I'm having these thoughts, I don't know how to cope with this, I don't want to hurt anybody, help me. And, you know, I think that I'm not fully trained, you know, like, in order to specifically like help anybody yet, but the biggest thing is just understanding, having empathy. And that's what I want to teach is, you know, this is what you're doing to people's lives. This is what you potentially could do to somebody's life. And, you know, how can we work around that? How can we keep that from happening? And, you know, you still get that fulfillment that you need. And there's tons of ways. People just don't understand because it's an uncomfortable topic. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I've had so many professors even now tell me that I can't work with sexual assault survivors and sex offenders because they're clashing sides. And I don't think that's true. I think that a lot of times they have similar issues. Sometimes sex offenders were molested as themselves as kids. Not all the time, and you shouldn't make that assumption, but like sometimes they do have traumas, and that's why that's where these thoughts are coming from.
I would say most of the time they have had trauma, I would say. And I think it is good to get different sides. And by the way, I don't know if in your research you saw that I'm a bonobo buff, and my philosophy is of the bonobo way, and the bonobos are our closest cousins that are primates, our great ape cousins. And the females are very empowered, and there's almost no rape among bonobos, which is totally the opposite of common chimps, where rape is a regular activity. But the bonobo females have a kind of solidarity. It's a kind of sisterhood, even though they're not really sisters. They stand up for each other. If a bonobo guy gets out of line and attacks a female or her baby, her sisters will get together and beat up on him, but they won't kill him. Because bonobos make peace through pleasure. They don't kill each other, unlike common chimps that do. And the thing about bonobos, too, that could maybe teach the Me Too movement a thing or two, is that, they don't really, ostracize the guys. They teach the guys. They work with the guys. And the guys are happy. I mean, a lot happier than common chimps and most human men. And they have a great life. Actually, the females treat these boys and guys very well. And I think we have a lot to learn from the bonobos. And I hope that you learn a little bit about them as you go on your journey through sex, entertainment, and therapy. So we've been talking a lot about a lot of serious stuff, and we know you enjoy a little spanking and a little pole dancing, and I hear you have a pole right where you are. Can we see your pole?
Yeah.
Wait, just the pole.
Oh, it's pink. It matches your outfit.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Can you show us... Can you get up on it and show us?
Yeah, let me just move all this fun stuff.
Okay. I love that your outfit is exactly the color of your pole. Did you arrange
Thank
that?
You.
Yeah. That's very color coordinated.
Is that like a regular pole or is it special?
Oh, yeah, it's a static, so it doesn't spin. Uh-huh. So a lot of people will say that the static ones are easier, which is what I've heard. Because you can hold one position and just spin. But I learned on static instead of spinning, so this is the one I'm gonna use.
Okay. But, oh, and look at the multicolored skirt you've got. Wow, I didn't see that before. Yeah, very festive. Okay, here she is. Alice Bangs on the pole. Ooh. And around she goes.
Nice.
Whoa. And nice. Yeah. Oh. Well, if you had a camera person, that would look really spectacular. As it is, we're impressed that you can do this, but you're going out of the frame and back into the frame, and there you are.
Great.
Nice.
Nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, it is a lot with this.
Next time we visit with you again, you'll have to have someone there to hold the camera. So
I know, maybe after all this COVID stuff, I can come down there.
Oh,
yes,
sure, for sure.
Absolutely. We would love to have you visit with us after all this COVID stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
So what are you going to do for Thanksgiving, Spanksgiving this year?
She's going to her grandparents. So,
Grandma?
Yeah.
And any Spanksgiving, though?
Hopefully, but right now I don't have any plans for that.
And you don't have a partner? Are you a single girl?
No, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm single. I am pretty happy being single. But I prefer women, so I've been, talking to some girls, but nothing yet.
Okay, you prefer women, but I guess most of your clients are men, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I'm bi, but I do have a preference for women on my social life. Obviously, as far as work, I'll entertain men, and I do like men in my sexual life too, just not a big fan of dating them.
Oh, okay, got
Great.
It that's interesting. So you'll have sex with men but not date them?
Yeah,
and I have dated guys in the past, and I'm not discrediting ever dating guys again, but yeah, as of lately, I really want a girlfriend.
Right.
Or maybe a couple.
Ah, interesting. Well, so now how do you feel about like regular quote unquote sex, like where you get stuffed, like intercourse? Do you like that or not so much?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love sex?
Well, some people, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. No, yeah, I definitely enjoy sex a lot. So I have like my OnlyFans that I'm always filming me getting stuffed on there.
Ah, by a lucky guy or a dildo?
Oh, random, like not random, but multiple guys.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to check it out.
All righty.
Okay. So I still have to smash the Trumpkin. Do you want to be here while I do that? Or, yeah?
Yeah, I'd love to see you.
You want to do it? It's a pretty vicious thing that I have to do with this guy because I did it on Halloween night. I smashed him. And then, of course, he was, he lost. And I thought I was done. But obviously, he's still there, and he hasn't conceded yet. So we have to smash him again. This is our last chance because it's Thanksgiving.
Last chance.
Okay. So I'm going to put him down here on the tarp. And let's see. I have a tool for this.
Whoa, careful on the plastic.
I can't just use a spanking implement. I have to use the machete for this, folks. Okay.
Careful.
We're taking out the big guns here. And I think I have to remove his hair. Everyone's telling me careful. All these guys are looking out for me. Ah! Smashing Trumpkin.
Yes.
Ah!
It seems like a great way to take out anger.
It is. This is actually very therapeutic for my post-Trump sex disorder. Yep. Yeah, it really is. Thank you for Miguel for making this Trumpkin. But, you know, I did this before on Halloween, and I thought we got rid of him. You know, Trumpty Dumpty fell off the wall. He took a big fall. But now he's trying to build a wall around the White House. And it's really dividing our country to the point that my guest flaked on me. That's right. I blame Trump for that. I totally blame Trump for that. I don't even blame her. Okay.
Right. You said you have clients who are Trump supporters too, and clearly they don't mind that you feel opposite.
Well, I do have a lot of Trump supporters who are my clients because, you know, they need the help. So, oh my God, there's another one. Oh no, they are multiplying. Okay. Oh, geez. Well, you know, you think you got one down, and then you got to get another one. And it's kind of like what's happening right now. It's like we voted, he lost, but we keep having to count these votes over and over and over again, and that's enough already. Enough, enough, enough. Smashing Trumpkin.
Look at Chico.
Yeah. Oh, look at Anna. I'll put my mask on now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at you. Look at the baby. Look what we did. You made a mess. Chico, happy Thanksgiving. There's no meat here, though. He's not going to like it. Oh, he looks like he's trying to eat some of it, though.
Well, he's trying to figure out if there's something
he's a dog.
Wants.
He's trying to figure it out. Well, yeah, Trump, if you don't leave, you're going to go to the dogs. It's not going to be pretty. Okay. Now,
careful.
I got to stomp on it.
No.
everyone's so worried I'm going to fall down. It's so nice to have all these people who care about me. Right. Plastic. Yes. And so hopefully this is going to do it, you guys, because, you know, we have a corona apocalypse on our hands. People are dying. We have so much to do. We have economic collapse. We need to pull ourselves together and stop this nonsense reality show that isn't reality. And I think we have to recognize that though Trump is kind of a wild aberration, in a way, he comes right out of this mentality that invaded this land we call Turtle Island, that they called Turtle Island, and that we now call America. And this mentality of just force my way, this predatory mentality, which is what our guest Alice is fighting against, is the mentality that killed all these Native Americans. It's the mentality that's going to kill all of us if we allowed this ecocide to continue. And it's the mentality we have to continue to fight against, even when we smash the Trumpkin and get him out of our White House. We have plenty of work to do. And you have a cute kitty.
Oh, look at that.
I love your pussy, honey.
I saw the puppy, so I was like, my baby too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We all have to love our non-human animals because they remind us that we are animals too. And that we're not the masters or even the mistresses of the universe. We're just here, and we should be thankful for what we have. All right, and I have two more minutes. So in that time, I am going to flog my associate producer. No, not right here. I'm going to get away from my Trumpkin.
You have 2 minutes.
Yes, I know I have 2 minutes. All right, and here she is.
Hello.
I could say I'm flogging her for the guest canceling, but I know it wasn't her fault. Now you have to turn towards me. That's right.
It's okay. My first time.
It's your first time. Oh,
well,
this is Mariah's.
Okay, I take that back.
This is Mariah's virgin spanking
takes that back.
On the Dr. Susan Block Show, but she has been spanked before.
Last night.
Whoops. Last night.
Last night.
And yes, give me that ass. I need a good target here. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
It's a moving target.
A moving target.
And thank you, Goddess Phoenix, for giving me this fabulous fiber optic whip that really makes Spanksgiving possible during the corona apocalypse when
Susie.
It's just not safe to do over the knee spanking.
Dr. Susie?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And what I want to say before I go is slappy Spanksgiving! Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much to our beautiful guests.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alice.
You're beautiful.
And
come visit us.
Yes.
When it's all over.
Spank you very much,
Alice. Okay.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining us in a very special show. And good luck to you with your studies and your career and your group that helps people who are victims of sexual assault and also helps some predators
her?
Too. And tell us again where we can find you, both for the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the in-between stuff.
Yeah, so for any survivors of sexual violence that are interested in seeking resources or alternative forms of justice, you can find our social media, Sisters Against Assault, or Sisters Against SA on Twitter, or you can email us at sistersagainstassault@gmail.com. And then for me and all my fun stuff, you can find me at onlyfans.com/AliceBangs. That's Bangs with a Z. And at Twitter, at Alice Bangs.
All right. Well, we are going to bang you up, girl, with all those places. Yeah. Good luck to you. All right. And And so maybe we'll show a little clip of the Juicy Jenny spanking from last year's Spanksgiving. 2 years ago, I think we did that. That was fun. So we'll show some fun stuff on our special DrSusie.tv edition of Spanksgiving 2020.
The lady said harder. My rings are falling off.
Oh, shit. Yep.
There she goes.
Oh, Niagara Falls, she does.
Oh, my goodness. Lordy, Lord.
Oh, wow.
Woo! How you doing?
I'm good.
You're good? I've got a wet hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hot. A squirting spanking.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for Juicy Jenny.
Woo! Spanksgiving.
So y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you get stuffed from both ends. And a slappy Spanksgiving, you know. Give a little spanking, get a little spanking, and follow the bonobo way. That's right. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Talk to someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else. You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web.